Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello. This one was very fun. My guest is the brilliant writer and also improviser, Kaylee Llewellyn. We both baked, which was just as excessive as it sounds. We recorded it a few months ago because we've been waiting until we can announce some of Kaylee's pretty hopefully amazing news that the excellent pilot that she wrote called In My Skin, which at the time of recording is still on iPlayer, and I implore you to get it in your life right now. It is a really, really brilliant drama based in some part on her own life. I watched it and made contact with Kaylee and begged her to do my podcast after I saw it. It's so good. Well, anyway, it's been really well received and it's looking very helpful. Hopeful that they'll be shooting a full series later this year. What? Get in! Hopefully. So, listen to this episode with Kaylee, fall in love with her brains, then watch her excellent writing come to life, please, on iPlayer while it's still there. First up, though, an update on the podcast's news. We recorded an amazing live show at the Vault Festival last Sunday. Thanks loads if you came. It was a good laugh, wasn't it? The next London one is on the 9th of June, and it's a huge space at the Underbelly South Bank Festival. And my guests are huge to match. The incredible Sarah Pascoe, Tom Allen, and King of Channel 4 baking shows, Liam Charles. Get a ticket quick. But my next live show in time, the next one in time, is in Glasgow. Yes, please, Glasgow. 30th of March. Got Susan Kalman, Jean Johansson, and rising locals chef superstar Julie Lynn McLeod. Which, even though there's a lovely lot of you coming to already, I believe, it's going to be possible to sell that one out. I would love that. So please share the news of it, Scottish ones. 2 4.5-hour train rides I'll be doing with a 3-year-old for that one. So there's quite a lot of pressure on it from my point of view to be excellent. And in May, we're at the McCunliffe Festival and the Wells Festival. The first one's in Wales, the next one's in Somerset. Full lineup's coming soon, and they're always listed more fully in the podcast notes on each episode's Acast page. Come to all and any of these. They're so much fun. Other than that, just the usual begging. Please spread the word about the podcast online and into the real-life faces of others. Rate, review, subscribe. And if you've got any spare money, go and have a look at patreon.com/thehooveringpod. You can help me out, even with just a few bucks a month, and I will exchange that help for some really fun exclusive content. More on that coming soon, actually. Free and discount tickets to live shows, depending on the tier you're at, and loads of other cool shit. Check it out. Lastly, I am doing a new stand-up show. I'm working it up at the moment. It's called Hench. Come and see a preview, perhaps. And maybe in one of the places where I'm doing a preview alongside a Hoovering live show, so you can come to both, like Glasgow or McCuntless or Wells. Tickets to all and everything I am babbling on about are linked on my website, jessicafostercue.com. Go to the bit where it says my doings. Finally, she gets the fuck on with it. That's me, I'm talking to myself. Let's have an episode, shall we? Here's me talking to Kaylee Llewellyn.
Here we are in your lovely home with the coolest door in the world.
It is, isn't it?
Can I put the picture of that door on, or is it you want to get stalked?
Oh, I'll put it. I've put it on social media.
Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. So do that.
Brilliant. I'm putting door pick tick. That's the kind of notes I take throughout. Kaylee,
I'm seeing the level of this.
You made a terrible mistake before we properly started recording of calling me professional seeming.
Right.
Which I'm just going to spend 45 minutes undoing now.
Okay. You've set the bar high.
We've made a cake.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Yours looks fancy pants, like so, a pro has swirled it around and stuff.
I'm not a good cook at all, and my girlfriend is a good cook, and she does all the cooking. Which, right. Whenever I tell my family in Wales, my mum in particular, that I don't do the cooking, and I'm a woman, she calls me a lazy bitch.
I really like the, I love the bit of it where you also have to tell her you're a woman. I know what you mean.
I'm a woman.
Really? No, because she thinks she knows. You said that with a smile on your face, and it's really made me laugh. So I think it's okay. But do you think it's because she knows you've got the skills, you just can't be fucked?
Yes. And I say because I'm a woman, because if my brother didn't do the cooking, that's fine. Women do the cooking. But then she knows I'm a lesbian, but I don't think she quite knows where does it fall then? Who does the woman's job?
She hates the thought that you've got, because you're gay, you've got this cakeless life.
Yeah, she says you're a lazy, every time she says, who's cooking dinner tonight? And I go, Emily, and she goes, lazy bitch. Every time. Which, and then I go, but I clean up, I do the like cleaning and I do the organising. We've got jobs. But anyway, the cooking job is normally Emily's, but I truly did. She came round and we made this together.
Oh, wow. So, 50-50. Thank you, Emily.
Yeah, thank
as
you,
well.
Emily. And it'll be better for it, because she is genuinely a good cook.
She really knows what she's doing. Yeah. But also, I think it comes down to which one of you enjoys it, right?
Exactly. She says it relaxes her.
Yeah.
And I do come in and I'll sort of be like, like just in the way of being like, should I get a bowl for you? Or should I chop that? And she's very patiently just like, do you want to leave the kitchen?
Just quite kindly and okay. Calmly asking you to go away.
Yeah.
I've only ever once... Is that true? Before I say it, I'm going to check with myself that it's true. I think I've only ever once in recent memory had a partner that enjoyed cooking. It got on my tits a bit. Not all the time, but sometimes it was absolutely lovely, and there's nothing like getting that text message that says, there'll be something to eat when you get in if you want. That's lovely. So, let's describe our cake, shall we?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to... The smells coming off them are good. They're both dark brown.
Yes, they
this
are.
This is a kind of eyebrow.
Have you taken a picture?
I've taken loads of pictures. So mine is from, I'm going to check, I think Lucy, let's check. God, I should have learnt this stuff. Such a great noise.
It is, isn't it?
The most beautiful noise. It's Lucy Watson's book, Feed Me Vegan.
Oh, great.
And it's a chocolate and banana loaf.
Delicious.
And what I think has happened is I've burnt the outside and undercooked the insides. What she's also done is made you rest an entire banana on the roof of the thing.
That's an impressive sight. I like that.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be quite a room divider. It's a big statement, isn't it? I think if they taste all caramelly, it'd be nice. But I'm just worried about... Sorry for touching something we're about to
all
eat.
Right.
But like, I'm a bit worried about like this... black bits around the edge. But it smells lush. Tell me about yours.
This is Deliciously Ella.
Yeah.
Pumpkin pie.
Oof.
Vegan.
Ooh.
Which I hope doesn't mean it's joyless, but we went to New England last month on like a road trip.
Wow, a holiday. Like a proper adventure.
Yeah, we just did like a week and we buzzed about. And my idea was, I'll have pie because it's autumn. And everyone was like, we don't do pumpkin pie till after Halloween. Because all the pumpkins are like in people's gardens. Which then I was like, oh, of course, it was too early. So we were fixated on having it when we got home.
Do you think they probably just have much warmer autumns than us as well?
Yeah.
We've got frost already. We'll yeah. be able to pluck a pumpkin now.
No, exactly. So we Emily made one the other day, and it was the vegan one, which the thing that makes pumpkin pie delicious and makes anything delicious is it called condensed cream? Condensed milk.
Nice. Yeah.
Can't have that as a vegan.
No.
So what we actually had was pastry with what felt like vegetable puree on. It was all right. We covered it in ice cream.
Okay.
This one has got loads of maple syrup and loads of dates in it.
Ooh,
so I'm hoping it'll
be
good.
Sweet. Yeah, that's definitely not going to taste savoury. I'm excited about
not.
It.
We'll see how that... Because it was Thanksgiving yesterday.
Okay. Amazing. God, I didn't even know. I'm so sorry, America.
It's just nice.
Let's do it. Okay, I'm going to go in. I'm going to go in on the banana bread. It's got some pecans in it.
Oh, delicious. Okay, I love pecans. It looks great.
It looks okay, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So far, so good. The edge looks edible.
I hear from Emily that banana breads can be tricky because it seems like the top catches quickly.
Yeah, I did have a... Well, also, it told me to bake it for 50 minutes.
Yeah.
It was not done. And I probably... I'd put some tin foil on it to try and stop the top burning anymore. I think it was probably more like an hour and 20. Ages, yeah. The other thing I might have done is accidentally used tablespoons instead of teaspoons of baking powder.
Cool. Those bananas are slicing well.
Yeah, they're doing all right, aren't they?
We got as well.
I'm such a messy slicer, even. I'm leaving the crusty end.
Do you want to double up and do both treats? We got earlier the vegan creme fraiche.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
I don't know if it'll be nice.
Oatly stuff, as a rule, is always nice. Yeah. Their cream is just so good.
Yeah, I've had that.
Look.
Creme fraiche. That might be... Creamy oat fresh, it's called.
This is the joy of living in Shoreditch.
Yeah.
I bet you've got loads of places you can get this stuff.
I've only been vegan a month. And
wow, welcome.
I'm glad to be here. But, yeah, everyone's been like, it's been hard. And I'm like, no, because I live in Shoreditch.
Yeah.
If I go to Wales, yes, it's hard.
Yeah.
This, not so much. Shall I slice this one?
I'm going to just try this on itself, this Oatly creme fraiche on its own.
What's it like?
Oh my God, it's lush.
Is it? Good.
Yeah. Okay. God, that's perfect with some rich, sweet.
Yeah, balance it all out,
actually.
You know? Is this much?
A bit less, please, if that's okay.
That is absolutely okay. So you've got more restraint than I do?
Well, it's only because I haven't got time for a nap after this. I do fall quite hard after a massive sugar fest.
Me as well. I just, before you got in here, I mainlined a soup. Because I treat sweet things like booze where I line my stomach with something savoury.
Nice!
And then I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like I can handle it more, process it more. Probably no science there.
No, I really like that. Should do one interesting thing, which is weird in the other way around.
Yeah.
But perhaps it's either an amazing accident that we have a cheese course at the very end of a meal, or there was originally some gastro science about it. But apparently, not for anything other than your teeth, but for your teeth, if you have some cheese after you've had some sugar, the alkaline in it helps undo the damage to your teeth.
Does it?
Yeah. And I read it in two things, neither particularly reliable, just internet things. And then I went to visit a dentist friend and watched her giving her then toddler a piece of cheddar after some biscuits and was like, hang on, are you doing that on purpose? And she was like, yeah.
Oh, that's good. What'd you do if you're a vegan, though?
I don't know. You're still allowed to rub cheese on your teeth.
Maybe.
Like you would. I think if you're a vegan that rubs drugs into your teeth, you should probably still be allowed to rub a bit of cheese on for the good of your teeth.
I think you're right.
I'm going in with pumpkin pie.
I'm going in with banana bread. We're both very polite like that.
Mmm. Mmm.
This is good, mate. Those nuts are tasty in there.
That is really tasty too. There's spice in it.
Have you ever had it before?
No. I'll be honest. When you said I make pumpkin pie, I thought it was going to look like a pie and have a load of squash in it.
Yeah.
This is definitely a much cakier event.
Well, this is thanks to Deliciously Ella, because I do think normal pumpkin pie looks like a pie, whereas she's gone wild with this.
She's gone rogue.
Yeah.
It's got a really lovely oaty base that's delicious, but also tastes quite wholesome and healthy. Good on Deliciously Ella. But it's the spice that really makes it in that, in the root, in what's in the top of it. It's all squidgier than it looks like it's going to be.
Yeah, so it's pumpkin, dates, maple syrup, cinnamon, ginger, some flour.
It's the ginger I'm loving.
Yeah, and then you bake it.
Wow.
That's all right, yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah.
A lot of sugar as well, coconut sugar.
Ooh, coconut sugar, just pour some of that.
I've never tried it before.
Yeah, it doesn't taste that coconutty, so I'm quite into it. I'm not a massive coconut.
I heard you, I was listening to other episodes of Hoovering, and I heard you say you don't like Bounties.
No, uh-oh, we're going to fall out.
No.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh, so you're backing away. You're
oh,
right.
God. That's not weird, wasn't it? It was like school. She's going to try and make me have a bounty. No, do you like them though?
If they're the last one left in the tin,
yeah,
the celebration tin, yeah, I'll have it.
Right, fine. So it's
never
not
a first choice.
Completely understand.
Yeah.
How are you with coffee revels?
Same. Well, last choice.
Really?
I'll eat it if I'm desperate. I won't not eat it. It's just got to be the last one.
It's so funny. I love a coffee revel.
Do you?
Yeah. Until we have these lush cakes. They fucking are both quite lush, aren't they?
You've done well there.
We've both done really well. Cheers.
Cheers.
Shit. Normally one of them goes wrong. We're really lucky ducks.
I've picked up some tips from your podcast.
Have you? Oh, God. I'm really worried there's quite a lot of fake news. Every faddy little thing I hear, I share as if it's... And I'm always finding out that stuff I thought, that I, you know, stuff I read or was told, I'm very gullible. And then later on, I'm always really gutted to find out it was absolute bollocks. I don't know why it's reminding me of this, and it's not very nice to say on an eating podcast, but as a teenager, I was told that, God, this is horrible, but if you get spunk in your eye,
yeah,
the reason your eye goes all red is because your eyeball's exactly the same... sort of physiological makeup as an ovary, so the sperm really tries to get involved, and that's why it aggravates it and you get red eye. And I think I spent a good decade telling everyone that.
That sounds real to me.
It's not true.
Oh, so what is it?
I don't know. I think you're just really not meant to have spunk in the eye.
Yeah, fair play. Yeah. I would have believed that because it's the size and shape of an ovary.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I'm in my tum.
I did have the other day, just to like, I don't want to be the new vegan who only talks about being vegan, but they've got that new, we've seen it, it's new plant-based mincemeat.
Is this Sainsbury's?
Yeah.
I've just bought some, tell me what's going to happen.
Looks properly like mince.
Yeah, it really
Which
does.
Actually, as someone who no longer eats meat, the look and texture of mince is not a thing that I'm missing.
Right, yeah.
Because it only ever looked like rat's intestines, right?
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily need it to look exactly like that. But anyway, I thought I'd go for it. There's just something about it, absolutely palatable. There's a smell.
It's not the highest. Because that's my favourite backhanded compliment ever. Absolutely palatable.
And also that's because I will eat anything. Someone else might have said no.
It's absolutely palatable.
There is an aroma when you cook it that maybe it's because it doesn't smell like any other food I know. Right. I can't place the smell. And so it was just like, oh, I don't like that. And then when I was eating it, there was like, no matter how much like soy sauce I banged on it, I couldn't get
that smell out.
Yeah.
I'm worried about it now because I find that with some, I mean, if they ever want to sponsor me, they'd still be most welcome. But Tofurky.
Not tried it.
That whole brand. And they do so many different things. They do like little chicken tikka pieces and stuff like that. Right through to like Lincolnshire sausages. They've all got a smell about them. It's something that's really synthetic. Mm. I don't know what it is. It might just be a herb. It might be like whatever they've done to sage or something and then just put it in everything. I don't know, but it's...
Something there.
It's not pleasant. It doesn't... It tastes unnatural and it smells unnatural. And then, yeah, same. It stays.
Mm.
I think also when a smell makes you like revulsed like that, that's your body saying no, no, no.
No, no, no.
No, no, no.
Exactly,
stay clear,
yeah.
Stay clear, stay clear.
I feel the same about charcoal. I don't want a black croissant.
No.
I think as humans, we're primed to go gone off.
Yeah.
Don't eat that. Rotten.
But it's all trendy now to guzzle a shot of charcoal. It's supposed to be, again, absolute bollocks.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's supposed
to make you... oh, God, it draws something in your stomach. I'm going to find the article and put it in the podcast notes because I'm not going to be able to articulate this. But unless you've got a specific type of illness that means you need all the acid, all the alkaline drawing away from one part of your stomach to another, which is very rare, and even then there's better ways of doing it than with eating coal, it's really bad for you and your immune system.
We can't trust anyone, can we?
We can't.
Because didn't they used to use that in A&E if someone was too drunk, had alcohol poisoning?
Oh, really? What, give them a bit of coal to suck?
They'd have a charcoal solution. Yeah.
Really?
Because of that, because it sucks the stuff out. I know this because I've written on Casualty.
Nice!
But I'm forgetting
That's so funny.
It's either they've stopped using it because it doesn't work,
did
or
they've
stopped using it.
Did you write on an episode of Casualty where they were using, like, Roman tinctures?
No. And
why were they giving them a charcoal?
Because they'd taken drugs.
Right.
And I remember there being a firm stance from my researcher on, they still do that because it works, or they've stopped doing it because it doesn't work. I can't remember which one it was.
Oh, no. Oh,
but
I
they
see.
Have used it. So let the listeners look that up for themselves.
I always thought that I always thought that it was bollocks. I remember at university, if somebody had taken a bit too many drugs, someone would always get a fizzy orange or an orange juice, orange and lemonade. And I always thought, yeah, like, that's going to do anything. But then I did some medical trials as a student and in my 20s for money. And then...
That's so funny.
I've done loads. I've hardly got any of the up inside my nose left, where I've given loads of bits to the...
Is that real?
Yeah. I thought it was growing back. The cartilage. I thought it was growing back. I've given it all to... Imperial College's study about hay fever, because I'm weirdly unallergic to anything airborne. So I did loads of studies where they took tiny biopsies of the cartilage out of the up inside my nose for like £250 each time. Not life changing, but it was then.
Save your bacon.
And frankly, would still be handy now. But I remember going for one and then going in and say, yeah, I'll do that. And she was like, oh, no, looking at a thing, you've had too many now. And I was like, what do you mean it's not growing back then? And she was like, no.
Oh,
you have read everything, haven't you, that we've got? And I was like, oh, yeah. Don't
of course,
that.
I forgot that bit.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was breathing easy. Just that woman that cocained the...
Daniela Westbrook.
Yeah, Daniela Westbrook.
Cyclops nose.
One nostril.
Yeah, uni nose.
Oh,
that's bad.
Yeah, isn't that bad? Anyway, why was I telling you that? Oh, because in the build-up to it, to any of the medical trials I did, on all the forms, whatever uni or college hospital it was for, always it said you couldn't have poppy seeds in case it showed up as that you'd been taking opiates. So even a poppy seed can make it look like you've been having some smack.
Wow.
And you couldn't have any concentrated orange, so you couldn't have more than... something like 250ml glass of orange juice a day, and you couldn't have any marmalade because it apparently citrus like that does suppress how you absorb drugs.
In a good way?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, bad way if you need the drugs, i.e. like if you have an antibiotics or some drugs that are real medicine, in a good way if...
Taking a dodgy...
Someone's chewing their tits off. Yeah. In a really inappropriate place.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I say it's good to know, like, I'm going to be out pulling off my head. I just mean it's interesting.
Ooh. So anything that, when you eat it, makes you think of being a child?
Yeah, loads. Sandwich spread.
What sandwich spread? Oh, my God, I remembered it. That does smell like sick.
Yeah, it looks like it as
well. It's like liquid coleslaw.
Yeah, it's like salad cream.
Oh, my God.
Full of mini bits of chopped up, like, was once veg. Now maybe it's been pickled.
Oh, God.
And I used to have that. My nana used to make me that on, just, like, smear it on cheap white bread.
Yes.
Lush.
Oh, my God, I'd completely forgotten it exists.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I feel quite emotional having been reminded
you back?
Of it.
Yeah.
I feel like this... The last time this happened is when someone reminded me, because, again, I'd just forgotten. I'd like, don't know what that is. And then it hits you, the memory. I don't know if you ever had this, but our grandparents' generation had a tray that went over the bath.
Yeah.
To put knickknacks on, like sponges and soap and shit.
And it's remember handy. Them? Yeah, I do. We should get one of those back, I think.
I'm sure Harper Shoreditch has got them.
Probably. Yeah. I'm always in the bath with my bits over the side. You got to keep...
I bloody am!
Yeah.
You've got to ferret your whole arm dangled down the side to get your wine.
Water dripping.
Your candle. Or your phone.
Yeah.
Phone that you've balanced on a towel or a towel of clothes.
Absolutely, we're in the same place. But a glass of wine and a phone on a towel. Yeah. And what about, did you ever have, like, beef paste and chicken paste?
I don't think I ever ate them, but I'm aware of the little, tiny little jar with a metal lid.
You only need a smidgen, that's why.
Are they quite concentrated,
aren't
they?
Yeah, very concentrated. You'd have it like, you might, it's, probably thinking back, it's poor person's pate.
Right.
So you have like butter and just a smidgen.
I'm just laughing. I don't know. I can't stop laughing just because of how much. Again, almost as much of a happy blast from the past as sandwich spread is the word smidgen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beef spread, a smidgen of beef.
Yeah. Just an eyeful, my nan used to say.
Just an eyeful.
Just an eyeful of beef paste on there.
Oh, yeah. Gross. I mean, you've doubled the grossness of it by saying just an eyeful.
I know.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No.
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
What's the longest time it's ever taken you to eat something?
Not long. No, I bashed through it. I'm one of four. And my Emily again, my girlfriend, she's a single child.
She's a single child.
She's a single child. She's an only child. And she was never taught to eat fast and never taught to argue. So I'll notice that. Like if we eat together, I eat like someone's going to take it off me. I've plowed through it and I'm up getting seconds. And she's like, I'll say, do you want some? And she's still got a full plate. And we eat about the same amount of food, but she doesn't rush it.
God, I'd love to be like that.
Yeah, I can't.
But I'm an only child.
Are you?
Yeah. Why am I breathing it in?
Did your parents used to pick off your plate?
No.
I spent a lot of, I didn't live always with my nan, but I would spend periods of time either living with her for little short bits.
Yeah.
Also alcoholic dad. Yeah. I would, you know, just be there all the time. And she absolutely food was love.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think anyone who spent a lot of time with their nan as a kid probably wound up fat.
Yeah.
There's a reason you're not meant to be with your nan all the time. Yeah. They love you too much.
Mine used to give me, my Austrian nana used to give me a bowl of jam and a spoon.
Delicious!
At age two.
Wow.
My mum hit the roof.
Yeah, because you must have been jonesing for sugar.
Yeah.
Straight away.
It's just in heaven.
Yeah. Absolute dreams. I would love that. But she used to... It's like a tale as old as time, but my relationship with food even now is that she sort of taught me to associate it with all things.
Right.
So like if I was sad, sit down, babe, I'm going to make you a chip, chip butty.
Yeah,
and if I did well at school, she would be like, you're having your dinner from Marks and Spencer's
tonight. Oh, the sound of a failure.
Do well, I'm still getting dinner, but it'd be like Tesco's,
you're
you know.
Having your dinner from Marks and Spencer's tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, that's and then, such a treat.
So lovely. And then if I ever wasn't like completely hungry, can you know, we weren't well off, we had no money. So she'd do this thing if I didn't finish my plate where she'd go, oh, you'll eat it for your nana, won't you? Oh, I worked hard for that. You won't leave it, will you? So now I can't leave food on a plate.
Oh, God. The problem with all of that is it's obviously from such a place of kindness.
Yeah.
But it fucks you up.
It does. And then it's similarly, if I was at home, get like my mum worked two jobs, no money, four kids, rubbish husband. So she just, we had chips. Every single night we had chips. But then my mum is just, she's 5'10", skinny as a rake.
Mm.
My two older brothers, skinny as a rake, no matter what they eat. My brother now, as far as I know, still lives on purely cider and like crispy pancakes.
How old is he?
40 something. That's just like his diet. Still,
what about scurvy?
Well, he's skinny. He's skinny. I don't know about, he will have scurvy. But they were all just so slim. And I haven't got the metabolism for it. So I lived on either chips or what my nan was feeding me. And I got really fat. When I was a teenager, I was 15 stone at my biggest.
Me too.
And I remember this one time. My mum had we were getting clothes off the catalogue because we like couldn't afford to buy them. But my mum was like, at least I can pay it off monthly. So I ordered, I was like 12, and I ordered like size 13 shorts, Umbro shorts.
Nice.
And when they came, I put them on and they were skin tight.
Mm.
And so I went into my mum and was like, is there something wrong with these shorts?
Oh, I love that mentality though.
Yeah. So these are right here.
Corrupted by...
I remember my mum looking at me and she wasn't remotely trying to be mean, but I think it just hit her like, oh fuck. And she went, you need to lose weight, babe. And that was the first... I went
12?
Yeah. And I went into my room and I wept. Like, wept hot. And my mum wouldn't even remember that. She wouldn't have thought she'd said anything mean. I think she just went, oh fuck, yeah. She is big. I still think of that as like one of the times where I've felt the most shamed.
Well, because... I mean, again, this is, you know, it's no comment on the people doing the things that feel like the kind thing. Recently, I've been, like, really aware of... listening to this brilliant podcast called Food Psych that's this psychologist and nutritionist, and it's very... I mean, it's really, really opened my eyes to, like, how pointless diet culture is, not even to go into the realms of fat shame, etc., etc.,
mm-hmm.
fat phobia, etc., etc. But... those little comments like that, even when they're well meant, are fucking toxic.
Yeah.
No one has ever gone, do you know what, I'm going to revolutionise my lifestyle, start listening to my body, start stopping when I'm full, start thinking about how hungry I might be if I'm in this hormonal state or this time. Like all the things you have to do to live your life in the body that you're in, accepting the... Do you know what I mean? To actually be happy and enjoy life and enjoy eating, which... I mean, I feel like I'm only discovering in my fucking mid-30s, you know. But just as toxic as those, like, oh, you need to lose weight comments, even when they're well-intended, are all the compliments you get when you do. Just as toxic. People going, oh my God, you've lost so much weight. Or even if they put it... I've been guilty of this so often. In more recent years, I'll never say that to someone, but I've got strong memories of saying to people, oh my God, you look really fit. Like, you know, you look really like... you've been working out. And that's just, it feels like just a feminist get out way of saying you've lost weight.
Yeah.
Which again, it's like two ways of just commenting on someone's body that are probably, or certainly I should say, unhelpful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not relevant. Unless you're meeting up with them to lift some weights together, what is the relevance?
Just even walk away. Don't just how are you?
Because you also don't know what someone's situation is.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And then there, I don't know, I think it can just start reverberating around your head, all those things.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
5 second rule, yes or no?
Absolutely yes.
Great, that sounded really confident.
I used to work in a cinema. It was my first job. Well, it was my second job. Before that, I worked in Quicksave,
supermarket.
I was 14, but I faked an NI number.
And I got to get a job in Quicksave.
I ultimately got sacked because I called in and said I had diarrhea, and then they saw me hanging out in front of the supermarket. They rung me on my house phone and said, Did you have diarrhea earlier? And I said, yeah, I told you. And she's like, it's funny, because I was looking at you through the window. You're hanging out in front of the post office. I was like, yeah. Okie dokie. So lost that job. But it made way for my first and best ever job, which was working at the Monaco Cinema in Rue Bynoe in Cardiff. It's been knocked down now. Oh. We had two screens, that was it. Me and five old people who like worked the doors and were absolutely mean as fuck.
Yeah.
Like they'd be, everyone who came in, they were just like, what?
That's just what the theatre's like in Swanage, where I'm from. There's always some really, really aggro old crone on the door, like really gnarly.
That's what these were like, Mary, her name was. So my job was to sit in the screen, watch the film, be about three people in maybe, and more on a Saturday, and then they'd leave and I'd clean up. And then, like, within my first shift, I saw that there was all sweets on the floor. So I went to Peacock's, bought a fleece with a zip pouch on the front like a kangaroo. And then when I was tidying up, I was slipping it all in the pocket.
Yes.
Straight off the floor. Didn't even know whose fingers had touched it. And I would just... I'd just
penny sweets.
All of it. Minstrels, popcorn... Maltesers, I do the lot, anything.
It's one of my favourite stories anyone's ever told me.
Yeah, unless it was clearly sucked, I'd have it.
That's your tagline.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I love it. Is there anything... I don't know if we can top that. Unless it was clearly sucked, I'd have it. Is there anything that you eat in like a peculiar way or a very specific way that you have to have in a very specific way?
In a weird way.
Yeah, like things have to happen in a certain order or how it's dished up or the time of day you will or won't have it. I'm guessing maybe not.
No, I'm very loosey-goosey. I think the only thing I do that people might think is weird is I'll be very happy to have like dinner food for breakfast.
I love that too.
So I'll have a soup or I'll have like, I don't know, full pasta.
Yeah.
If it's in the fridge.
Curry?
Yeah, I'd have anything.
I really offended I've got teenage half siblings.
Yeah.
And my sister Hattie once saw me eating takeaway curry for breakfast and she still talks about it.
Why?
It was so yummy.
So it's going in the same belly. Yeah. And it's like sat in its flavours overnight.
Mm.
But I've always done that. But my excuse now is I've started... That has been the key to me becoming happy in my own body, as I started exercising like 3 years ago. Yeah. And I do it in the morning. Usually, well, I was supposed to do it in the morning. But because I work from home, what I'll end up doing is not doing it till one. And yeah. I'm in my pyjamas until one.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But whatever I do, if I've done a workout, then I'm like, effectively, I can eat whatever the fuck I want now.
Yeah.
I'll have, when I was eating meat, I'd very gladly have like half a chicken.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's 10 a.m.
Yeah.
It's whatever. I'm refueling my muscles.
Yeah. But you do need some protein after a workout.
I would have done it if I hadn't worked out as well. It's just, it's a handy excuse now.
Tell me about it. I'm big into it. What's your exercises that you like doing in the morning? At home?
I do them at home. Do them at home, and I do Sean T. Do you know him?
No.
Oh, man.
Is it a YouTube star?
He's not YouTube. They're like DVDs, but...
Right.
Or like, you know, download it on your laptop if you're in the modern century. And he's this guy. He's gay, but he doesn't seem gay. He's really ripped, mixed race guy, bald head.
Yeah.
He was a dancer and a basketball player or whatever, and they're called insanity workouts.
Oh, I heard of these. My friend Tash got really into them. It's like HIIT or what's the other one? It's like interval training.
Exactly.
And like really loud music.
He has some music on, but he's like talking to you the whole time, and it'll be a mix. So he's done like, there's like four or five different programs of his out there now, and they're each like 2 months long. So I've done them all the whole way through, and now I like mix and match. And you'll do weights a couple of days a week, and then you'll do cardio.
You've got your own weights at home?
Yeah, got them at home in my
bedroom.
Have you? Yeah. And I do it 6 or 7 days a week.
That's amazing.
And I do yoga once a week to like stretch out, and it's made everything better.
Yeah.
I'm so much happier being strong.
Oh my, tell me about it. In the coconut as well. So much better for the head.
In the coconut? Oh!
Mental health.
Yeah, well, I started, my dad died, and for the first time in my life, I started having anxiety attacks. Oh. Never had them. And someone was like, oh, you should... Because, like, that 15-stone teenager, like, I got slimmer when I moved to London and I became a grown-up. But I was still, like, bigger and just eating all the time and, you know, not being strong and squishy and everything else. I wouldn't have contemplated exercising. And then someone said, look, exercise just while you're having these anxiety attacks because you'll, like, exhaust yourself and use up adrenaline. Mm. So I started, and it was 3 years ago, I haven't stopped. And it's, like, it's got me through so much, like, that's mentally... Amazing. Calmed me down, but and I just love the feeling of being strong.
Love the feeling of being strong as well. I love lifting weights.
I love clenching my arm and pressing it and being like, yeah, I'm strong, I'm ripped.
Feeling the start of bits of definition and stuff like that. I'm gonna call my next show Hench.
Are you? That's a wicked name.
Or it may be Power Bungalow.
Both as good.
In Powerhouse, but I'm having some photos done lifting weights and I'm really nervous about them because it's the closest I've let myself get in a long time. Not to restricting what I eat, but to paying... Mm. If I pay too much attention to it, I just immediately feel so low.
Yeah.
It's really weird. It's that same thing of being like... Yeah. Not I exercise so I can eat what I want, but just in terms of to get rid of some historical and ongoing disordered eating, to just... try and eat when I'm hungry and have what I want when I want and stop when I'm full and know that there'll be times where it's not hunger that's calling you to get food.
Yeah.
And especially if it's calling you to get shit food. All of that, trying to stay in touch with all of that. The second that I try and bring in the structure that even has the faintest idea of a diet, I'm just... within 48 hours, so deeply unhappy.
Really?
So I'm having to be very careful. And actually, I think it's taken me a fortnight, but to go, I don't give a fuck what the results are of this thing. I'm just going to really work my upper body really hard for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let legs fall behind and stuff. And then, but I'm not going to change my eating much. It's just not, it's not worth it. Because I found as well, I don't know if you have this, if it's 3 years, it's a long time. I have long, long patches where I think I felt really great, actually. You know, just content and like I'm coping and I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely exercise contributing to that and eating in a way that's kind.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then something will hit me and exercise won't cut it. I don't think exercise is the be all and end all in terms of the more extreme bouts of anxiety and depression and anything else, really. Sometimes it can override it.
It's a thing, it's not a cure all, but it might just help you.
Yeah, it can only help.
Yeah.
But it can't necessarily cure.
Won't cure. What I find with it is it helps. It calms me down in a way that the bad thing is still there, but I approach it after half an hour of like sweating my tits off.
Yeah.
I can then be practical about my approach and go, okay, it is still shit.
Yeah.
But let's think calmly about how we might approach it instead of that feeling of panic rising up and everything overwhelming you and I'm drowning. It doesn't cure it all, but it just at least, it's just a tool.
Helps you feel like you've, in control of it.
Yeah.
Yes. Fascinating, isn't it? So you've just gone vegan.
Yeah.
And this might not be relevant actually to that, but are your reasons, have you got any like real specific reasons or are you just environment or a love of animals?
It's a mash. I went vegetarian in May. And the reason for that was Emily's vegetarian anyway, so I'd started eating a lot less meat, regardless. And then she's a travel journalist, and we were in Norway. She was doing a travel piece, so we were like travelling around and going to. It was a really incredible trip, and we were going to quite remote places. And the PR person hadn't forwarded on to these very remote places that Emily didn't eat meat, or fish or anything. And Norway's thing is fish.
Yeah.
And so we'd get there and they're like, you'd see them walking from the beach with this like incredible fish they'd just caught for us. And I don't really like fish.
Oh.
I've never have. But by the time we break the news to them, like, Emily doesn't eat any fish, and you see them panic because there's not a supermarket.
Yeah.
I then can't go, and I won't have it either. Yeah. So I was having to go, so I do, don't, I'll eat it. And I didn't really, I don't like it. And one of the things we had to do was go out with this guy who looked like a Viking and catch fish, take them home, cook them and eat them.
Right.
And I just had that like city girl thing of the very first time, the fish that come out, they're massive and they're holding it and they're like, you know, you slit its throat with a knife.
Yeah.
It was awful, absolutely awful. And like watching it sort of take its last breath in the sort of like bowl there,
yeah,
I found so disturbing. And then I said to the guy, because I was feeling like, I don't want to eat this. And I said, oh, well, I'm feeling a bit worried. And he went, don't worry, it's the circle of life. Like, you're going to eat him and he'll have eaten another fish earlier. That's the way it goes. I was like, I'm going to... And then he was cooking the fish up for me and he sliced it open and said, oh, you know that thing I said? It was true. And he pulled a full other fish out of that fish's stomach. Like undigested full fish.
Yeah, he's just eaten it.
And he popped it on a plate for me, and him and his wife and Emily all sat while I had a plate of fish. And I had to eat it, and it turned my stomach with every mouthful.
Oh, what? But then the pressure on you to enjoy that as well, that was horrible.
Awful. But I thought, that's it, isn't it? If you can't kill it and eat it, you shouldn't eat it.
Yeah.
So I stopped with that. And then the other thing is, with the vegan thing, I've had IBS my whole life.
Yeah.
My body has told me for the last 20 years, please stop eating dairy. Please, please, please. And I've ignored it. And so I said, let's give it a go for a month. And then I might do vegan-ish. I might do, you know, a few days on, a few days off. And then I watched Cowspiracy on Netflix.
And it worked.
I thought, I can't go back.
Yeah.
So that was that. Here I am.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so it's a bit environmental, bit because I don't like killing animals.
Which sounds like you've got, I never even think to say, are you doing it for health reasons? Even though I'd say half the people I talk to who have gone vegan or veganish are doing it for health reasons.
I saw this video with, do you know Mayim Bialik? I don't know if I'm saying that right. She played Blossom in the TV show.
Oh, yeah, I know who you mean.
She's
in
Big Bang Theory now. This video was going around on Facebook of her. She's vegan, and she was like, look, blah, 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 vegans are preachy. I'm not telling you you have to do it all the time, but maybe just give it a go. And she said this statistic that makes sense, but I'd never heard, where in America, if you're Caucasian American, only 5% of Caucasian Americans can effectively digest dairy. If you're African American or Jewish, only 2% can effectively digest dairy. So she was like, the figures are there. We're not designed for it.
Yeah.
Give it up. And so... thank you, Mayim Bialik. I watched that and that was another thing that made me go, oh, let me just try.
I'm going to look it up and put it in the podcast notes.
Yeah, look it up.
Wow.
It's funny, crazy. Isn't it?
I'm definitely not completely a vegan. But I am most days.
And that makes a difference,
and I think that does make a difference. But I think I'm really fascinated and into your answer about the fish. Because conversely, I would love that.
Right.
What a pervert. But I would love to fish my own fish.
That's a good thing.
And one day I do. I think it's unrealistic to ever expect to learn to hunt. Or, you know, maybe I could have rescue chickens one day if I ever live in the sticks.
Yeah.
And eat their eggs and eventually kill them or eat them when they're dead or whatever. But I think realistically I could set the life goal of learning to fish. I love the idea of fishing a fish out. Killing it all quick.
Bashing it on.
Eating him up.
Well, that is the way of the world, isn't it? Yeah. That's how it should be if you're thinking about it.
But also, if we did that, you know, realistically, I don't foresee a life where I've got fuck all on happening at any point. That's going to mean having that once or twice a year that you'd actually go and get to do that. You know, go out on a boat or sit by a lake for a day until you get enough for a meal or something. It's not
in this country.
It
as
would
well.
Be the treat that it kind of feels like it's almost meant to be.
Yeah, my so Emily again. She used to be in a relationship with a man. I just find the story so funny. Before she realised she was gay, and to sort of like because things weren't quite right, but she didn't know why yet. She just kept initiating hobbies for the two of them to do together. And one of the hobbies, she'd run out of like getting into computer games and everything else, the next thing she saw came home and was like, fly fishing!
And she's bought... just anything to avoid fucking him.
Yeah. She came home with a like like rods and the culottes and all of that. And she got bang into it. She said she was really good at it. She'd be popping the
rods and the culottes.
Yeah.
Oh, she sounds cool.
That just really makes me laugh thinking of her. What about it? Come
on. I've got another hobby.
So you could do that anyway. You could get into fly fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, one day I'm bang up for learning to do fishing. But similarly, you know, you do get that exact thing of like, oh, if you're repulsed by the idea of a death of a creature at your hands, yeah, just don't eat them.
You don't have to.
You don't have to. Oh, you certainly don't need them. I mean, I think there's a few supplements. You can get your omega-3 from some aloe capsules now.
I've got some... I just bought some vegetarian or vegan omega-3 pills, and I have been wondering what the hell is in there.
You've made it's like seaweed usually, or an aloe.
Right, I've been popping it in without looking into it anyway.
My mother-in-law buys mine for me.
Oh, that's nice.
Very sweet of her. Oh, so have you ever done a travel that was particularly memorable because of what you ate? I guess you've answered that in the last question, actually, a bit, haven't you? If you had the
yeah,
fish
I did also, though. I went travelling when I was 19 around Thailand. And I only ate pad Thai every day because I wasn't into spicy things or... And I wasn't really having much meat either then, just because I was a bit like, I've seen a fly on that. So I was just eating noodles. And I know now I don't handle a noodle well.
This sounds a bit contradictory, though, to the, like, I've seen a fly on that, and the old five-second rule attitude.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Well, when I was younger, this woman told me this thing about flies, that the moment they land on something, they throw up. I don't even know if it's true.
That sounds a bit like spunk in the eye, but it might be true.
She said the moment they land, they go...
So I wish you could have seen that impression that Katie just did.
So I just had that in my head anyway. You know, if you see flies buzzing all over, it'd be like, it's covered in bomb. Anyway, so I had these noodles every day. I don't do well with it. Came home after a month. And I won't go into too much detail, but I stopped going to toilet.
Ooh.
And I'd been home for like 2 weeks and I still hadn't
gone. Oh, no.
And I got to the point where my mum was like, I'm going to take you to the doctors. If you don't go today... And I won't go into any more detail, but that's another memorable travel when I got myself hurt with too many noodles.
Poor thing. The noodle plugged.
Yeah.
What's the most emotional you've ever been somewhere that was serving food?
Most emotional I've ever been... God. That's a hard one because I love food so much. I love the moment in a restaurant when you see the waiter come in with your plates.
Oh, yes.
It's just nothing... I could cry sometimes.
It's... do you know, I think that feeling is... also really exquisitely I'm not being very articulate today, the pertinence of it is also really well exemplified by when you see the waiter coming towards you with your food and then you realise it's not for you and they're
livid.
Oh, I mean, it's like being brought to a certain point and then walked away.
Yeah, blue balled.
Oh,
that's what
blue balled. You've been
blue
balled. Your tummy's been blue balled.
I'll tell you what has made me emotional many times in my life, and even now, I can still, as a rational person, I can lose all sense. If I've left something in the fridge, and I'm really looking forward to it, and I get home and someone's had it, I remember like when I was a teenager that I would just be like crying and be like, "Becky's here in my yogurt," and my mum would be like, "Well, do you want to calm down? Because it's one yogurt, but I've just seen red.
Yeah.
Because I wanted it, and now it's gone, and I thought I was having it. Blue balled again.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's been one of four, you know.
Yeah.
I've never been that fast.
Really?
Yeah.
That's handy. We also had the other day, we went to Scotland a couple of weekends ago, and was doing a travel piece again. It was a really remote area.
Do you get so cool that you get to do some travels with her?
It's amazing. It's like amazing, yeah. We're going to Norway again next week, in fact. Pre-warned them, we're vegan this time. But we were in Scotland and it was quite remote. It was nighttime. We had been out doing like outdoor activities all day, and I had that kind of ravenous where you can't wait to eat because you've really earned it. And we booked in at this like pub that everyone said was lovely, and we got there and it stank of a gent's toilet.
Oh, no.
No one in there. Also lit with a blue light, and Emily was like, we cannot, we'll go somewhere else. So I drove to a new pub and it looked lush. It was like washed in this warm light, and there was an open fire, and we went in and we were like, oh my god, thank god we're here, table for two please. And this woman was like, oh, coach of tourists just arrived, we can't sit you. And we went, what? And she was like, 80 people have just arrived. And me and Emily looked at each other like the world was ending, and we were like, well, can we get takeaway? And she said, we physically can't, we don't have the staff cannot do it for you. And we were like, and I was going to, what are we going to do, because we're vegans, and like, you've got vegan stuff and no one else has. And she, obviously she's looking at me like, not my problem.
Yeah.
So I was like, is there anything else in town? And she was like, there's a fish restaurant. I was like, we're vegan. Mm. And she was like, well, they might have something. So we were losing our course. Me and Emily are on the website, they haven't got anything. So I turned, actually, absolutely treating this woman like my problems are hers. Is there a supermarket? And she was like, none around here. And within about 5 minutes, me and Emily were out in the foyer of this hotel, both Googling where we could eat. And I remember snapping to her being like, if we don't pick somewhere soon, we won't eat tonight. That's that. We won't eat tonight. And we were just like white with rage at each other. And then we found a chip shop and we went there and chilled out. The speed with which it descended.
Oh, it's horrific.
Absolutely.
When you're in that real hunger. Yeah. It's an animal panic. It's not controllable. I mean, some people control it, but it warms my heart that you can't either.
I cannot.
I did some training this morning in the gym, and then I got home and my neighbour spotted me outside putting something in the bin, and she's my friend, and she was like, oh, I've got a parcel for you, hang on a minute. And I was like, oh cool. The thing is, I've just been to the gym and I'm actually I need to eat something right now, if that's okay, actually, Liana. I'm just gonna eat something. And she's like, just a minute. And I was like, oh god, just be rational. Thank you very much.
Hard.
Yeah. I'd only come outside because someone had knocked the door to get another parcel ready. I was like, what's this fucking parcel o'clock? I was just about to eat something.
What's this? Parcel o'clock? Jesus.
A dragon's egg is discovered and it's born, but initially it's totally wild and dangerous, torching everyone and everywhere up and stuff. Everybody's absolutely shitting themselves. It's agreed to let you, and weirdly only you, be its Khaleesi.
Oh.
And then it will do as it's told for you. But only, oddly, if you agree to do 19 Davina McCall fitness videos on the bounce. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero!
Wow.
You saved all of humankind from being torched to death by the dragon, who you've tamed. You've now got the coolest pet, even in Shoreditch.
Yeah.
And you are, everywhere you look, people are like, Curly, Curly, Curly. I mean, this is incredible. The feeling of, you're so knackered out, but you're, you know, you're hungry, but perhaps, you know, it's not, you're not, you're still happy.
Okay.
It hasn't tipped into what we were just on about then. And you've got time to have a shower, you know, you don't feel grim, you're just... You're hungry, happy, and your reward is the feast of your dreams. It can be totally theoretical. These don't have to be things that exist or people you can access or places you can really go to. Please don't care a fucking bit about the ethics or the healthiness of what you choose. It will only have a positive impact on your body, whatever you choose, and the world. So for your feast of your dreams, I want to know what you're eating, what you're drinking, where and who with.
Okay. I thought the dragon was going to be involved, but that's just where I got there.
The dragon's your pet now, so he's absolutely welcome.
He's there too. He might be char grilling something for me.
That's a nice idea, actually.
Drinks. I love booze. I love it.
I feel like we didn't know each other before today, and this is...
But perhaps we did.
Spirit. Maybe we did.
Yeah, spiritually. I'd want to start with like a lovely Glenlivet.
Ooh.
Scotch on the rocks.
Ooh.
That's just start with that.
That's a strong flavour to start with. Hats off.
Yeah. See, I'm sat in front of two decanters worth of whiskey here as well.
Lovely,
I've always got them near. Food. Do you know what? I haven't said now that I'm not a big fan of fish. I did once go to a really fancy fish restaurant in Mayfair. I wasn't paying. And I had potted brown shrimp with like crusty bread and salted butter. And the flavour stayed with me forevermore.
Nutty.
Yeah.
Oh.
They were small enough that I didn't have to question what they were.
Mm.
So, you know, so maybe that. For my mains, I love a really good pasta. I also, it's fish again. I love fish and chips, but I don't care about the fish. I want the batter. I'll gladly pick the fish out. So I'd probably have like a really good fish and chips with mushy peas.
We could be
peas.
Good sharers on that.
Do you know the fish?
Shit about the batter.
Oh, I love it. I'd have the chips with cheese and gravy, yes. Mushy peas, the batter off of fish and chips. I'm going to drink that with. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a French phrase cocktail, and it's written like Vucare. V-I-E-U-X space C-A-R-R-E, I think.
Right, and it's like picking that up.
Brandy, whiskey, ooh. Cherry. Gets me pissed as fuck.
Lovely.
I'd have that. What have,
what with have, your fish, with your chips and batter.
Yeah.
And gravy cheese.
And then...
I'm loving this.
My afters would be... nothing to me is finer than an ice cream cookie sandwich.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and if I can pick... The cookies are oatmeal and raisin, and they're gooey. And the inside, I'll go for a plain vanilla if it's good, or I'll have a peanut butter. Ben and Jerry's are doing a vegan ice cream right now. Peanut butter and Oreo.
It's off the charts.
Lush.
It's off the
charts. I'd have that.
It's the best vegan ice cream I've had so far.
Yeah, it's better than most normal ice cream, which is such a rare thing to say.
It's almost slightly less... I think where Ben and Jerry's have really nailed it, and will, I think, for some time continue to nail the vegan ice cream market, is that it never was about creaminess or silkiness or decadence. It was about what the other shit that's in
chunks.
It. Yeah, chunks. Yeah, the chunks. The fit secret chunks. And to have, oh my God.
Lush.
Oreo and peanut butter cups and what, oh.
And you can't get a spoonful of that ice cream without a chunk in. It's impossible.
No.
Which I really respect them for.
I really, yeah.
So I'll that's mine.
Heaven.
Oh, and I'll have...
Who, with and where?
Sorry, with my afters, I'll probably have a really good vodka martini with a twist.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. I like frozen glass, but no ice. Yeah. And I'll have it with...
I'm loving these spirits. Just hardcore spirits with every course.
Yeah.
You've gone for like a really conventional setup of like starter, main, push, but with deeply weird and brilliant contents and strong, hard liquor accompaniments.
Yeah, I love my booze.
Love it.
I love it. And I'll have it with, purely because I just finished Making a Murderer Series 2 last night.
Okay.
I've seen it.
Not series 2. I wasn't that fussed about series 1.
Okay, series 2 for me is a whole other ball game.
Fine.
And it's all about this woman on there called Kathleen Zellner.
Right.
Who is a 60-something lawyer.
Right.
Who, more than any other lawyer in the US, she has gotten off wrongly convicted people for murder.
Okay.
She's absolutely... incredible. The whole of Making a Murder series 2 is a character study of Kathleen Zellner.
Okay, I'll definitely watch it. If there's a new angle, I'm all over it.
You don't even see Stephen; you just hear him on the phone. But everything is about how fucking fiercely intelligent this woman is, and she has this fire in her belly about injustice. So the main thing that really lured me in is she's like, as a lawyer, really our only job is to prove our client is innocent.
Yeah.
I don't do that, because if Stephen Avery is innocent, someone else murdered Teresa Halbach and he's currently free, I'm going to find who killed Teresa Halbach.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I found the real killer. So she's actually doing a...
Well, it's the best way to get someone off. It's the only way, often, really, unless you can find some massive technicality.
DNA,
and they already did all that, and it didn't work.
And it didn't work. But so now she's done that. Like, oh my, watch it. So I'd have it with her. And who else? Some great woman... Meryl Streep.
Wicked. What a wicked table of women. That's very cool.
Delicious. Brilliant, Kaylee. Please do check out her writing, In Our Skin. It's so good. This pilot is so good. I loved it. Follow her on Twitter. She's at KD Lou. KAYDLLEW. Oh, God. I mean, it wasn't even that complicated, was it? And I still sort of struggled to say that. It's so Welsh. KAYDLLEW. It's not that hard, actually. I'm just not very clever. Okay, follow us on the social medias as well. Please follow us as well. We're at The Hoovering Pod. I've been putting loads of stuff up there recently. Follow me, if you like, at Jessica Foster Q. And spread the hoovering love all around your friends like a sexy virus for the ears. Or find your own much, much, much better analogy than that. Come and see a live show and or come to my stand-up. I'd love that. Details, as ever, at jessicafosterq.com. And that's where you'll find a way to email me as well if you want to ever send me anything longer than a tweet. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.